some of the that now more traditional things that are considered litigation funding is money comes from capital markets. There are funders that are out there either public or nearly public as part of their role, or there are other public entities that have a portion of their business that is funding litigation. There are private funds, and a lot of those private funds come in the form of syndications, where a litigation funder really isn't the one funding the litigation, or maybe they're funding a part of it. But what they do is they find a case and then they go out to entities or people that they know that have funds that they want to put into this sort of, you know, casino that is litigation funding. And they put that all together as a syndicated investment that they then use to manage the funding of the litigation. Now, there's a whole series of questions for the litigation funders of the world as to whether any of that needs to be reported to the government as investment or selling of shares. That's well beyond the scope of this presentation, but that is something that I know is of interest. As I was cruising through one litigation funder's website just last week, I noticed that they did say that they would be registering all of their information with the government so that they wouldn't run into any problems. I don't know those regulations or even the name or number of those regulations, but it's certainly something worth considering. Now, there's also another consideration in these as to whether you're going to be as a funder, whether you're funding a single case, a series of cases, a campaign where perhaps there's an entity that owns a lot of patents and is going to go forward and sue everybody in a particular industry. And as a funder, maybe you're going to be part of that. And as counsel, you're going to be part of all those litigations. That's one form. Then there's you could also have the single case where you're just funding a particular case. And then a third type is a situation where you're putting money into a funder, and it's the funder who's going to decide basically at their own discretion which cases, whether they're IP cases, mass tort cases, securities litigation, whether they're any kind of case that they want to put their money into. And in that circumstance, what you're really looking at is something very, very similar to a mutual fund. You're putting your money in, somebody else is deciding how it's going to be spent as an investment in litigation, and hopefully in the end you're going to get some sort of return. So at the beginning I mentioned how prevalent this is, how I can barely go a day without seeing it. What we do see is over the course of preparing this presentation, I saw a recent article that said global litigation funding, that investment market is a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago, worth $10 billion with a projection that in 9 years, that's going to be $22 billion. So actually, because I was curious that tomorrow is my 30th anniversary of being a lawyer, I backed up 30 years to see from 2018 to see what that market was at the annual growth rate of 8%, which is what they said. It was under $1 billion when I started, and it's grown to 10 in that period of time. And then in less than 9 years, it's going to more than double to $22 billion. Now, to be fair, the entity publishing this study may have an interest in the growth of that market, because the more that market grows, the more they have to report, the more of their reports about the litigation funding market they can sell. And this particular report was about $3,000. So needless to say, I didn't go and purchase that just to dig down into, you know, figuring out whether it was accurate or not. But even with that, putting that all aside, over the summer, the American Bar Association published what it calls the best practices for third-party litigation funding. And as part of that publication, they noted that there is exponential growth in third-party litigation funding. So say what you want about the ABA, pretty conservative organization in that respect. And for them to notice that there has been this kind of growth is pretty phenomenal. Before we go into sort of some of the ethical considerations of funding and whether you can even do it, I thought I'd set up sort of for those of you that don't know or haven't been through this, some of the stuff that happens before a case gets funded, because it's all part of that, and then the reporting that happens afterwards that really leads to the issues of discoverability, protection, and attorney-client privilege and work product. So with that in mind, a typical situation could be where a patent owner has a number of patents and decides that they want to sue some one or more defendants, and that they can't afford or don't want to pay the costs or all of the attorney's fees of the funding. So keeping in mind all those different scenarios that I just discussed of how you could pay for costs or part of the fees or all of the fees and all of the costs, keeping that in mind, before a funder is going to put some money up, they're going to do some due diligence. And as any of us would do before we filed a lawsuit, we would do due diligence to see, one, did we have a Rule 11 basis to file the lawsuit? But two, if you're really looking for a return on investment and you're looking for fees for your client or for yourself or damages for your client, you're going to look at that and do some sort of evaluation or valuation of the case. And that's a typical thing for funders to do.